This edition of the Crunch Zone is brought to you by the O-Line Sports Grill. O-Line is on the front line of Cardinal sports. Come in for wings, happy hour, and $3.99 burgers every Tuesday. It's a sports fan's dream. At the corner of Westport Road and Hurstburn Lane, see the menu online at olinegrill.com and text CRUNCH to 72727 for a buy one, get one free entree.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
You are now listening to the Crunch Zone, broadcasting live from Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. This is Mike Lindsay, also known as Crumb's Revenge, and I've got two guests with me. I've got
Mark Blankenbaker at UofL Sheriff 50.
And
Chris Hatfield at underscore Chris Hatfield.
And we always say underscores are for the birds. But we've got a lot of things to talk about. Today we've got program updates. We've got football with our huge upcoming Thursday night game against Rutgers. We've got player interviews. It's the Crunch Zone, and it's coming at you right now.
Game of the week.
Guys, how are we doing? Are we excited about this game or what?
Very excited about this game. It's going to be a big-time atmosphere Thursday night. Keep the microphone in front of my face, Mike.
Definitely excited. National time, like you said, game, and really excited.
All right, Mark, I know you've got, or Sheriff, should I say, you've got your big preview. It's already out. It's already been hit a lot on the website. But talk about some things. We've got Gary Nova seems to be hitting a different level this year than he did last year. Last year, I thought they struggled to get some points. This year, they've already hit the 50s twice. What are you seeing for Thursday?
Yeah, you know, Gary Nova, he's just seeing the field a lot better now. He's making better decisions. He's reading the defense. He's not forcing his primary read like he was a lot last year. So Rutgers' offense is a lot better. They're down a running back, but this Louisville defense is legit, and we're going to see on Thursday night how legit they are.
What do you think are some of the keys to the game?
I think, honestly, I don't see Rutgers being able to run the ball very well. They have a pretty good freshman running back filling in, but I think this is going to be all about defending the air, getting to Gary Nova, making him make bad throws, flushing him out of the pocket, getting sacks. That's going to be the key to Louisville getting off the field on third down.
We've got some interviews later with Hakeem Smith saying some of what you're talking about right there. Chris, what do you think?
I think it's just getting pressure on Gary Nova, like you said. There, Rutgers seems to be spreading him out a lot more than they used to. And then the freshman running back, he talked about Justin Goodwin, ran for about 145 yards last week in kind of his debut. So that'll be an interesting dynamic. And also, I think special teams is definitely an area that's always a consistent concern for Louisville. And Rutgers is one of the best special team return units in the country, so that'll certainly be something to watch.
Now, you know, I don't have as much research as you guys, but I can say right now that Thursday night games in Louisville, this is, you know, the crowd is a factor. When the crowd is ready to go, it's a factor in the game. And I don't think Louisville can be denied. When the crowd is ready to go, and this is going to be one of the two games that we kind of circled on our schedule, is one of the better games that we have this year. And I think the crowd is going to be loud. I think they're going to be ready. I think it's going to hype up the players. I don't know that Rutgers can do anything about it. I think if they score 40, we score 45. I mean, I just think it's going to be one of those types of games.
Absolutely. You know, Thursday night football is a staple of Louisville football. It really is. Go back to last year's Cincinnati game. It was overtime. The crowd was incredible. It was energetic. It rained. This is going to be perfect weather. This is going to be absolutely just the most perfect environment for football here on Thursday night. And it's going to be outstanding.
And I hope the weather is just like right now. Teddy's right behind you. Hey, Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think we can bring him in on the podcast without Rocco's permission.
Exactly.
All right, so what do you think about all right, Devontae Parker, game time decision if he plays. I'm thinking he's going to be a decoy. If he plays, he's a little gimpy. Maybe, apparently, we have red zone problems. Maybe they only play him in the red zone. What do you think, Chris?
I kind of think along those lines. The red zone issues is something I kind of addressed. You know, I think you'll see Gerald Christian get used a lot. And obviously, I think Dominique Brown, kind of the power back down there in the red zone, will be critical. But I think that's the only area that you'll really notice an absence from him. It'll be interesting to see how much James Quick is used, the freshman that we've all heard about. And 6'2 would be the tallest receiver on the Louisville team, so it'd be interesting to see how he's used.
What do you think, Mark?
You know, I think that with Devontae Parker on this team, that they've forced the ball to him a lot this year. And I think with him not being in the game, they're going to be more creative. They're going to run a lot more misdirection. They're going to run the better offensive plays rather than fade to Parker in the corner. We've seen that. Everybody's seen that. But now Rutgers is going to have to scout for something they haven't even seen all year. They're going to have to go back into last year's film to see what Louisville's doing in the red zone before Devontae Parker really started getting those jump balls.
Quick question. I'm a huge Teddy Bridgewater fan, so I'm not gonna knock him as a player. We know how good of a player he is. But with Devontae hurt, Louisville's offense quit moving the ball against a very bad Temple team for 2.5 quarters. How much credit does Devontae need for Teddy's success? And that includes spreading the field, because you got to worry about Devontae, so it helps open up other receivers. It's the jump ball that no one can out-jump a Devontae, that Teddy knows if I toss it up there, he'll get it. I mean, how much credit are we – we know Devontae's good, but how much credit does he need to be shifted back towards Devontae?
Well, it's a healthy part, because the duo of Teddy Bridgewater and Devontae Parker isn't possible without one or the other. You know what I mean? And Devontae Parker, he gives the Louisville offense a dynamic that really no other team in the country has. I mean, there's not, in my opinion, not another quarterback wide receiver combination in the country than Teddy Bridgewater, Devontae Parker. So, you know, look at all the touchdowns he has. Look at all the yards after catch he's down. I mean, broke the Cincinnati game wide open last year. Awesome catches against Florida. And all the catches he's had this year have been just him. And so, you know, Teddy knows that he has a weapon that nobody can defend, and he uses it to the best of his ability.
What do you think, Chris?
I think Devontae's kind of became a reliable, obviously a reliable person for Teddy. But I think what you'll see maybe this week is Eli Rogers, you know, going back to high school, that he's been really quiet this year. And I think if there's any receiver that Teddy trusts on this team the most, it's probably between Eli Rogers and Ryan Hubbell, because he calls you Mr. Reliable. But Eli Rogers, I think maybe they can rekindle that fire here, and it may start Thursday if Devontae can't go.
Yeah, it seems like Eli is getting a little bit more catches lately, so hopefully that works out. Copeland seems to be a little quiet in the last few games. Hopefully they kind of get that going, because at the beginning of the year, it looked like Copeland was about to have a monster year the way he started.
Absolutely, yeah. And, I mean, another guy to look for is Robert Clark. You know, Gerald Christian, we talked about. And then the running backs. Teddy last year, his safety blanket was the running back, and he hasn't really utilized that much this year. They haven't really utilized the screen, and we'll see if that comes into play this week.
All right, let's talk running backs against Rutgers, because we do have a three-headed attack. Seems like some of the running backs, you've had Dominique Brown recently, Sonoris has had some big games, and Dyer's had a couple breakouts. Who do you think is the running back that actually works most against Rutgers' defensive style?
You know, I think it's probably Dyer, but I don't know if we're really going to have any running back get over 40 yards against Rutgers, to be honest with you. They have one of the best rush defenses in the country. If the University of Louisville has over 150 yards against Rutgers on the ground, I'll be shocked.
Better than the University of Kentucky's rushing defense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, we're not making fun of Kentucky in this podcast. Chris, what do you got?
I actually have a different feeling on this. I know the Rutgers defense is very talented. They lost Kasim Green last year, the linebacker there. And I think you'll see this experience. And I think I'll go on record and say, and I think this is the game that Dominique Brown shows kind of the nation that – everyone wants to talk about Teddy Bridgewater, but I kind of think this is the game that he may break out. He kind of took that role last week, kind of went with it. The Kentucky game, you've seen them go to him 8 straight carries. If there is going to be a running back breakout and they need to utilize someone else other than Devontae Parker, I think it'll be him.
Okay, well, that wraps up football. Final comments, Mark, anything?
No, it's going to be an awesome night here at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium on Thursday night. I am super excited for just the best atmosphere that Louisville's seen in quite some time.
Chris?
If Louisville has a statement game and they want to show the nation who they are, I think this is when they do it, and I think they will. I think the 17-point spread, at first I was a little bit surprised, but I actually think they'll live up to it Thursday night.
And I've been coming to a lot of Thursday night games for a long time, and when the crowd is amped, I just don't see Louisville losing. If they do, it'll be like the terrible West Virginia loss, something where the refs have to write an apology letter because they messed it up. So I'm excited about this football game, and I agree with you guys. I think the crowd is going to be hyped. I think the team is going to be focused and ready to go, and I'm looking forward to see what we do, especially if Devontae is a little bit hurt, because I think now it's time for Coach Watson to shine and not just say my red zone plays the fade to Parker. He's going to have to be a little bit more creative than that if he loses a superhuman Spider-Man like Devontae Parker. The O-Line Sports Grill. O-Line is on the front line of Cardinal sports. Come in for wings, happy hour, and $3.99 burgers every Tuesday. It's a sports fan's dream at the corner of Westport Road and Hurstburn Lane. See the menu online at olinegrill.com and text CRUNCH to 72727 for a buy one, get one free entree. Let's talk to some of the players for what they think about the upcoming game. We got Preston Brown and Hakeem Smith.
One on one.
What's that mean to you? It
means a lot to show the world that we go out there and play a little football. Thursday night, big time game. It should be fun, so everybody can see what we can do. We expect a great atmosphere. We know the Papa John's going to be packed, so it should be fun to have a night game.
How do you prevent from coming out so sluggish? How do you kind of get off to a better start?
I think we should come out to a great start. Usually we have them play at 12 o'clock, so now we get a little more time to get our minds right, ready for the game. So we should be focused and ready to go.
You guys don't give up a lot of runs on the ground. They don't give up a lot on the ground.
Uh-huh.
You kind of see, is it like a battle against run defenses on Thursday night?
Hopefully not. Hopefully Teddy can put a little points on them so they have to throw the ball and get out of their game a little bit. So hopefully we get points up and have to get them out of their game.
When you get a lead, does it make it easier on a defense because you kind of know they have to throw to get back in it?
Yeah, we know they're a little one-sided when Teddy and them go out and put 21 points in the quarter. So that's what our mindset is. Hopefully they go out there, we get a little stop, and then they go out there and put points on the board so we get them out of their offense.
You guys have given up fewer first downs, fewer points than anybody in the country. It's pretty impressive. Do you sit back and marvel at that?
You go back and look at it and say, yeah, we're doing pretty good so far, but we got a long way to go. Only playing 5 games, so we got a long way to go. So hopefully we can keep it up throughout the whole year.
Question, how far has this defense come as far as building the coach building program? Mm-hmm. You're missing guys like Brown and Brooks who would have been starters a couple years ago. You wouldn't have been able to overcome that, would you?
Yeah. All it just shows that the depth we have in the program now, we can throw guys in there and still go out there and make great plays as they've been doing so far throughout the year. So it just shows that we've been recruiting better and getting guys in here that can step up at any moment.
Charlie says you're all the best team in the country.
Uh-huh. All means a lot. That's what we go out and pray every day at practice. We feel like we're the best team in the country. We got to show it on Thursday.
He spent a couple of years saying that, you know, you're not good enough yet. You're mm-hmm. not an elite program yet. I mean, he's pretty honest with you the last couple of years. For him to say best team in the country.
Uh-huh. All it means a lot coming from him because he told us that we weren't much when I first got on campus. So it feels good to show that he thinks we're the best team in the country.
Do you think that you're the best team in the country?
Oh, yeah. I think we're the best team in the country. And hopefully after Thursday, a lot more people will know. Just that we play hard and we're a physical team that we're a force to be reckoned with, just so everybody, we go out there and play anybody in this country. All right.
Early, as let's say in the previous years, a lot of young guys, they looked as this opportunity, okay, I might redshirt. But now Coach is bringing in a lot of young guys, and they're quickly adapting, and they're learning the system fast. So, if somebody goes down, they're prepared and they're able to take the spot, to perform well.
What's it mean to be on a big stage Thursday night?
It's always, it's prime time, it's exciting, and that's the stage we want at least every game.
Nova's been throwing the ball around a lot. What are some things you're trying to shut down?
Just frustrate him a lot. If we get to frustrate Nova in the past, we know that he'll throw a bad ball. And like last year, he threw the interception that we won the game with. We force him to do some mistakes like that, it's going to be a ball game.
Last year, Rutgers scored both their touchdowns on busted plays on the defensive side. Are you all really focusing heavily on not allowing that type of play this year?
Oh, yeah, we self-scouted ourselves. We've seen a lot of misplays we've had in the past. We've taken into consideration. We've come out here and worked, and we've worked on those passing plays, and we've worked on the big plays they had success on this year.
Rutgers, the last 2 games, have been decided by 5 points total. There's been a battle. What is it about Rutgers that makes it tough?
It's always like a goal or objective when it comes down to playing them. The first year we had to beat them to go to the bowl game, which we did. And then next year, that game set the tone for the rest of the season. And this year, or in the last year, the interception to go to the Sugar Bowl. It's just those 3 years, it kind of created a rival where that game is always a big impact on us.
What do you see different about Gary Nova this year as opposed to last season?
Last season, he was forcing a lot of passes. This year, he's been a little smarter, and he's making the completions where it needs to be.
You got a rare burn last game. Coach has been nice to you this week?
Oh, no. They've been on me hard about that, because it's rarely you'll see that. And, I've been beating myself about that. And I know that won't happen again, and they know it won't happen again.
Let's head into some program updates.
Program update.
All right, here we are. Program updates. We've got the red and white scrimmage for basketball just finished. I know some of you guys went out there and watched. So what are some early thoughts on the players? Mark?
You know, I was really impressed with Montrezl Harrell.
That was pretty boring. Kind of a plain answer. Kind of a no-brainer. You know, like, let's pick with the best guy on the team.
Well, he was.
And then,
awesome.
All right, back to Mark.
He was completely different than last year. But if I have to pick a new guy that I'm really impressed
with. No, you could just say your honest thoughts. Yeah. Go with the layup.
The layup was Montrezl Harrell. The new guy I was really impressed with was Terry Rozier. I really felt like his athleticism. It really surprised me, to be honest with you. He kind of really tapered off towards the second half of the practice, in my opinion. Early on, man, he was just dominant. I was like, whoa, this guy is going to be really, really good.
Chris?
One quick takeaway is also Terry Rozier, 12 rebounds. That's a really exciting thing that caught my eye is Louisville's going to be looking for rebounders this year, and I think Siva did a good job of that last year, and it'll be interesting to see if he can kind of fill that void.
And one thing I'm starting to hear, and this is not just from the people watching Red and White scrimmage, but even Jeff Goodman, who's been spending a couple days at the practice, is, hey, folks, Chris Jones is not a one and done.
No, I don't. You know, I just think it's going to take him a little time to get his groove, find his answer, because, like, he's been such a relied-on point guard that had to go and score, and the Louisville offense is not going to be that way. He's going to have to find the open man, and if he wants to shoot first, he's gonna have to hope that the guy's backing off of him. He's going to have to get that shot rather than forcing it, and I think him finding his rhythm, slowing down, because he wants to go so fast, and, like, right now, he has to find that good patience that Peyton Siva had, where he's patient burst, and then that's when Chris Jones will actually really start to blossom.
Yeah, and I think Pitino's offense is no joke, people. I mean, that's why freshmen don't come in and right away and are not usually immediately successful, especially the guard position. There's just so many options and ripples, and they add to it as the season goes along. It's unfair of us to put too much pressure on Chris Jones to come in and run the offense like a four-year NBA player, Peyton Siva, so don't expect that, folks. Don't put that pressure on him. Don't you put that hate on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you put that evil on me. But what about Anton Gill? Some people were really impressed with him.
Anton Gill is kind of an interesting player. He's a sharp shooter. I really like that's the thing that stands out about him. I really like his shooting ability. I think he can give Louisville a nice threat in the wing. If you can put that alongside Luke Hancock, that's a pretty lethal combo there.
Now, I think guards and wings, you know, we talked about the rebounding. So, I think we're one foul trouble away of having some front court problems, especially against a team like UK, who does have some depth at the front court. And I do think we, you know, have some better shooters, so maybe we won't need quite as many rebounds, but I think this is the year that the guards, the wings, the Waynes, the Terry Rozier's, these guys are going to all have to gang rebound a little bit more than in years past. In years past, we took advantage of that front court and got some mismatches on our shooting percentage through rebounding and then taking away shots from the opponents. This year, I think we can outshoot some of that, but the rebounding is still going to dictate wins and losses, I think, when you play those top teams. What do y'all think?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, when you look at it, like Akoya Gao, Mango, Mathiang, those guys are nice pieces, but they're not really ready. So what you're really looking at is Stephen Van Treese, Montrezl Harrell, and Shane Bohannon. That's your front court. You know, you have two really good wing guys in Wayne Blackshear and Luke Hancock, but they can't play in the post. So when you're talking about the post, you know, those three guys are going to be in a rotation. So if you get Montrezl Harrell in foul trouble, which he was in a lot last year, then you're at Stephen Van Treese and Shane Bohannon for the duration, and that could be scary.
Chris.
Hello, Shane Bohannon. I mean, we've seen the dominant plays in Elite Eight, Final Four. It's time for Shane Bohannon to step up and be the elite player that everyone knows he's capable of being and be that rebounder. But I think we kind of spoke about this today. I do think it's a little bit less of a concern because Louisville creates so much turnovers, and that can kind of help offset. But that's the guy you look at, Shane Bohannon. And, I mean, Van Treese is also capable of going in there and doing the dirty work.
I'm concerned a little bit, especially when I hear Mango, oh, yeah, he's blocking some shots, and then it just turns out they were all against only Van Treese. So I don't know exactly what to expect of our bench for the big guys. And I'm not saying blocking Van Treese isn't a big deal. I'm just saying when he went up against Shane and against Montrez, who are elite-level athletes, he did not have the same success. So he is not ready to compete, in my opinion, with elite-level athletes. Until he can show that, then we can't expect him to do that to other teams. So I'm a little concerned about that. I think the guards are going to be obviously are going to be good, but you know half of them don't know the plays. So I think it's going to be sloppy, and I think we're going to appreciate the downgrade in the schedule competition with the AAC to allow us to kind of get our house in order before the NCAA tournament. But this is a Rick Pitino team, and I think they're going to be ready. Now, for me, for my layup, you know, if I had, based on the red-white scrimmage, pick a coach who I thought did a really good job, I'd say Rick Pitino.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Rick Pitino did a great job. He didn't even coach in the Red White
game.
He literally interacted with the fans almost the entire time. There was a beer vendor coming down the aisle, and he was motioning to the beer vendor to get him a beer during the red-white scrimmage. He was having fun.
All right, well, the basketball team did get some good news on last Friday, I believe, Chinaunau Onuwaku. And if that name sounds familiar, it's because his brother played for Syracuse. And I'm really surprised that that did not translate into a Syracuse commit. They weren't even mentioned. I don't know if Syracuse was even interested.
I don't know.
And Onuwaku's in the pros, doing very well. His brother is in the pros, doing very well. I'm surprised. I'm thrilled. This is a guy I really wanted. He's very athletic. He's long. He's going to go great with Jalen Johnson. What were you all doing when you got the news?
I don't have any idea what I was doing, but I really am excited about the commitment because it's fun to say. Chinaunau Onuwaku is the second best to Good Luck.
What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is another case of a Gordy Jane Jr. A lot of potential, high potential, and we'll see how he develops, but very excited.
I was in my basement, and I was just so excited that the number 64-rated recruit picked us. It was life-changing. That's right. I'm finishing my basement, folks. I'm man cave action.
Where were you when Louisville beat Cincinnati in 1989 at 3:30 in the afternoon?
I was in your basement. Yeah. You had no idea. We hadn't met yet. I was robbing you blind. All right, so the media day is this Saturday.
Yes, this Saturday we're going to get extended conversations with all the Cardinal basketball program, assistant coaches, players, new players. It's a good time to really get to know the new guys and also talk extendedly with guys that are usually hard to get to.
Like, blah, blah, blah. Sounds like someone snoring over there. Chris.
Kind of what he said, though. I agree with him. Getting to talk.
God, this guy agreed with the guy that said nothing. This is just getting boring out here, isn't it, folks?
Say it hasn't happened yet.
It's time to talk to Russ Smith and see what Wacky thinks he can say, so that'd be fun.
Russ Smith, and I do think that you should check out thecrunchzone.com because we're going to have all those interviews Mark talked about and all the pictures that we can muster out on Twitter and Instagram, and check it out. We're going to have this well covered, folks.
And a great Crumbs Revenge Rutgers video that's going to happen on thecrunchzone.com after this big-time win on Thursday night.
It will. Now, I can't promise it'll be as epic as last year because, let's face it, it's mid-season. Last year was we're finally back at the BCS. That's a special production. But, yes, we will have some highlights for you folks to watch. All right, that does it for program updates. And now we're going for closing comments. For the end of the program, everybody, we're real sorry that we have to leave here, you know, because we know you enjoy the podcast so much. But, Mark, we got a lot of football. We got basketball starting. To me, it's the double whammy where you get both sports in the same day. You're double dipping. It's the best time of year. It's fall. It's beautiful outside. What are your closing comments for Louisville sports?
I think that this is a huge weekend for Louisville football going into next weekend's Rutgers or a Central Florida game. So you got Rutgers now, Central Florida, huge time for a Cardinal football. I'm excited about basketball, but that can wait. I'm super excited about football right now. That's what's on my mind.
And that's Friday night next week, Central Florida. Hopefully we take a big Rutgers win into that game, and I think the atmosphere is going to double in excitement. Chris, closing comments.
I'm all in football mode right now. These next 2 weeks are the biggest of the year for Louisville, exactly what he said, and I think we can start it out nicely with a nice win over Rutgers.
All right, folks, well, that'll do it for the Crunch Zone podcast this week. Check us out every week on Louisville.am or thecrunchzone.com. Check us out, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Cars forever. I promise to rep the veal and